Mando shows the Mithril a hologram of his face.
Is that me? There must be some mistake. I can get you more credits.
I can bring you in warm.
He touches the blaster at his hip.
Or I can bring you in cold.
Later, he freezes the Mithril and carbonite aboard his ship. Previously on the Mandalorian.
Yes, yes, yes.
Very healthy.
What are your plans for it?
This asset was of extreme importance to me.
What did you do to it?
Please don't hurt him. It's just a child.
Cara Dune here was a veteran. She was a drop soldier for the Rebellion.
Cara guns at Moff Gideon's TIE fighter. Mando flies up on his jetpack and sticks a charge to the ship. Letting go, he plummets and watches it careen from the explosion.
You're staying here?
Navarro is a very fine planet. And now that the scum and villainy have been washed away, it's very respectable again.
Hang on, kid. It's gonna be a bumpy ride, but I finally know where I'm taking you.
Pieces fall loose off the Razor Crest as it jumps to light speed. The Razor Crest limps through space. In the jury-rigged cockpit, the Mandalorian taps controls.
All right. Let's try this again. Okay, do you have the wire? No, nothing. Hey.
He crosses to an open panel in the wall.
Okay. Did you get the wire out? The red wire.
The child's inside a cramped tube.
No, the red one. Show me the red wire. The red one. Yes, good. Now, you're going to plug that red wire where the blue wire goes in the board. Put the red wire where the blue wire goes in the board, okay? But don't let them touch. See where you took the blue one off? Yes. Now, put the red one... No, don't put the blue one back. Put the red one where the blue one was, and put the blue one where the red one was. But be careful. They're oppositely charged, so keep them away from each other. Make sure you hold them apart from... No, hold them apart.
Letting them touch, the child electrocutes himself. Smoke spews out of the compartment.
Are you okay?
The child blinks his wide, innocent eyes.
Well, it was worth a shot.
Later, the little one sips a bowl of broth. Mando sits beside him.
There's no way we're making it to Corvus in this shape.
He lifts his helmet just enough to sip his own bowl of broth.
You know, I think we need to visit some friends for repairs. So how'd you like to go back to Navarro?
Mando lifts the bottom of his helmet again. The two of them sit side by side on stacks of cargo, slurping their broth. As the Crest continues its journey through space, the image wipes away to the former workshop of the Mandalorian armorer. A number of Aqualish roam around inside. As one tosses a coin pouch to another, subtitles appear.
Here, count this out. Hello, little friend. Won't you be delicious?
An Aqualish grabs a lava meerkat from a cage. The one with the coin pouch counts out piles of credits.
That's my share. No one touches nothing until we eat.
The meerkat gets held down on a cutting board. Its Aqualish captor pauses with a cleaver.
Someone's here. Go see what that was.
They all hold their guns drawn as one of them creeps towards the entrance. His black walrus eyes search the gloomy corridor. A figure rushes him from out of the shadows.
It's the Marshal.
Laser bolts fly as Cara Dune wrestles the scout. The other Aqualish fire on them both indiscriminately. Cara throws the scout into a corner and seizes him by the throat. Grabbing a knife from his belt, she hurls it into one of his cohorts before dispatching her adversary. The wounded Aqualish pulls the knife from his shoulder. Kara smashes a decanter of Spotchka into his face, then knocks another adversary out against the countertop and uses him as a shield against blaster fire. She hurls her victim into the gunman. An Aqualish pops up behind her, wielding a blade, but she drops him with a swift elbow to the face. The would-be butcher staggers up with his gun and gets felled with a quick shot to his chest. Kara holsters her blaster. She moves a sack from one side of the counter to the other, then starts gathering up the loose credits. The meerkat scurries up onto her shoulder.
Hey.
It nuzzles her cheek.
Okay, okay, little guy. No one's eating you today.
She sets it down on its hind legs.
Go on, you're free. Go on, get.
It stays put, gazing up at her.
Okay, look.
She pulls out food.
Here you go. That's all I got. No, I need to return all these things to the rightful owners.
Watching the critter eat, she shakes her head, then slings the sack over her shoulder and exits the abandoned workshop. Our view descends to one of her victims left dead on the floor. A title appears over black, The Mandalorian. Chapter 12, The Siege. The Razor Crest shudders as the Mandalorian pilots it down into the atmosphere of Navarro. He flips some controls. The ship's landing gear unfurls from its mangled hull as it cruises in for a vertical descent. Cara Dune and Greef Karga stand by, watching it touch down on the lava flats. They approach from the gates of the city. Greef shakes his head. The rear cargo ramp opens up and gets jammed halfway. Kara and Greef exchange a look, then continue forward. Smoke sprays down erratically from twin exhaust vents as the Mandalorian appears with the child tucked in one arm.
Looks like someone could use some repairs.
He hops down from the cargo ramp. Sporting a white goatee, Greef welcomes him with a forearm handshake.
How's my credit around here?
I think something could be arranged, isn't that right, Marshal?
I'm sure we can work something out.
I'll get my best people on it.
Hey, fellas, let's fix this man's ship. I want it as good as new.
Go on.
And you come here, little one.
Has Mando been taking good care of you, huh?
Have you been taking good care of him?
Yeah. Yeah, he said, yeah.
Yeah.
Holding the child, he leads the other two into town.
Yeah. Yeah.
A worker alien with round, wide-set eyes approaches the Razor Crest, then turns back and watches them head through the gateway. The trio moseys through the bustling streets of Navarro.
Looks like you two have been busy.
I myself have been steeped in clerical work. Marshal Doom here is to be thanked for cleaning up the town.
Your ship's not looking too good.
I had a run-in with the New Republic.
They should leave the Outer Rim alone. If the Empire couldn't settle it, what makes them think they can? Here we are.
I'm surprised to see this place is still standing.
Wait till you see inside.
They enter the public house.
Who can name one of the five major trade routes in the galaxy? Anyone? How about the Corellian Run?
The Hydean Way?
Yes, the Hydean Way. That is correct.
A school?
Things have changed a lot around here.
We're gonna leave the little one here so we can talk business.
Wait, wherever I go, he goes.
Mando, please. Where we're going, you don't want to take a child, trust me.
He'll be fine here. You have my word.
Greef sets the child down at a school desk.
From the Outer Rim to as far away as the Core Worlds.
As he takes in his new surroundings, two girls seated in the row behind him whisper to each other. Greef leads the way out of the makeshift school. With a final look at his ward, Mando follows him. The child sits low in his seat, his head barely clearing the desktop.
All right, class. Settle down. Back to the lesson, shall we?
The student seated next to him eats from a sleeve of bright turquoise cookies. The child stares intently at the snack, his dewy black eyes following as the boy lifts a cookie to his mouth. The long-haired boy notices the little foundling watching him. The child gives him a puppy dog look. The boy glances toward their teacher. The protocol droid turns to a celestial map on a glass screen.
Arcades
the maelstrom surrounds.
The child holds out a hand to the boy. He stares pleadingly.
No.
The boy takes another bite of his cookie. The child shifts his focus to the silver sleeve and extends his arm. Watching the teacher, the boy remains oblivious as the foundling narrows his eyes in concentration. The sleeve of cookies inches across his desk. A smile evaporates from his face and he looks to the child. With the sleeve now in front of him, the child nibbles on a cookie. In an office, the Mithril works behind a desk.
There's no registration on the ship, but I'm pretty sure it belongs.
He sees Greef entering with the Mandalorian.
I believe you two have met.
A fine mist jets out from the Mithril's neck gills.
I'm surprised to see you here.
Right back at you.
Mithril here is taken care of by Book since he was a polywog. But then he disappeared one day after a bit of creative accounting.
Magistrate Cargo was generous enough to let me work off my debt. Thank you, by the way.
350 years, but who's counting?
Well, if he runs off on you again, let me know.
Let me assure you, I do not want to spend any more time in Carbonite. Still can't see out of my left eye.
Can we talk business?
I'm only here for repairs.
Which will take a while, which means you'll have free time on your hands, right? And we could really use your help.
Help how?
This is Navarro. We're here. This entire area is the green zone, completely safe. But over on this side is the problem.
It's an old Imperial base.
It's where all those troops came from when we defeated Moff Gideon. This base has been here since the Imperial expansion. It's got a skeleton crew, but for some reason it hasn't been abandoned.
There's a lot of heavy weaponry in that place. The Black Bucket would love to dismantle and get their hands on.
And you want to mop up the last of the Imperial force before they do.
Mando, I just want them off my planet. If we could take out that one last base, Navarro would be completely safe. We could be a trade anchor for the entire sector.
And the planet would finally be free.
A holographic schematic rotates in the air in front of her. The Mandalorian looks to Greef, then back to Kara.
What are we looking at?
Later, the Mithril drives a land speeder into the lava canyons. Kara rides shotgun with Greef and the Mandalorian in the back seats.
The whole base is powered by a reactor.
We sneak in, overload the reactor, and get the hell out of there.
Let's be fast and keep the speeder running.
There it is, right up there. You see it?
The facility looms high above the canyon.
How close do you want me to drop you off?
About the front door.
It's a little close for a civilian, don't you think?
I got two choices for you. You take us in and I knock 100 years off your debt.
Or?
Or I leave you out here in the lava flats to walk home with whatever's left in your humidity vest.
Not much of a choice, is it?
The speeder's quad engines flicker as it speeds toward its destination.
All right. We can't go any further than this.
Let's go.
The three warriors hop out. The Mithril stays inside the speeder, watching them make their way toward a security hatch carved in the cliffside. High above, a freestanding shuttle pad juts out from the rim of the plateau. The Mandalorian goes to a panel beside the hatch and tries some of the buttons.
Controls are useless. They're melted.
Well, it's probably not rated for lava.
Imperial trash.
All right, I'm headed back. Hit me up on the comm. We can set up a rendezvous time.
You park your gills right there until I say otherwise.
I'm starting to dehydrate, boss.
Okay, how does 30 more years off your debt sound?
Can you at least be quick about it?
You want to be quick about it? Grab the flange cutter and help us out.
Okay, fine. I don't like leaving my speeder like this, just so you know.
Come on, hurry it up.
All right, I'm coming. I'm coming.
Hurry up.
Mando looks up at the overhanging shuttle pad as the Mithril starts cutting away at the panel.
Hold tight.
He blasts off on his jetpack. The others watch him rocket along the canyon wall and disappear beyond the ledge. The Mithril resumes his work, letting sparks fly as he cuts through the metal plate.
How long is this gonna take?
Look, lady, this is rated for light plumbing and such. You're lucky I even packed it at all.
Dink Ferrick.
As a stormtrooper plummets to the ground in front of them, the hatch slides open to an elevator.
Are you coming in or what?
I'll take my chances down here, but thank you.
Well, when the lava tide comes in, give us a holler. We'll drop you a rope.
The Mithril tosses his flange cutter and joins them inside. The door closes between them and the dead stormtrooper. A view from above shows the full breadth of the facility built into the rim of the canyon. The elevator opens at the top to reveal Mando standing over the bodies of more troopers.
Empty base, huh?
Kara paces along the ledge, eyeing a thin trickle of lava in the canyon below.
The reactor should be set in the heat shaft. If we drain the cooling lines, this whole base will go up in a matter of minutes.
Look, it's a Mint Trexler Marauder. You know how much we can get for this on the black market?
And it's gonna get vaporized like the rest of this base. Now let's go.
Such a waste.
They walk away past a sheet-covered armored transport. Now a hangar door opens to reveal a fleet of speeder bikes. Split up into pairs, the group cautiously peers inside from opposite ends of the doorway. At a nod from Greef, Mando leads the way forward. Meanwhile, in a security terminal...
Shuttle Bay, this is Command. Shuttle Bay. The security feed just went down. Can you check your relay hub? Shuttle Bay? Shuttle Bay, this is...
From behind, Kara seizes him in a chokehold and puts him to sleep. The Mandalorian goes to his control bank and punches in some commands, scrambling the signals for all the security monitors. Greef frisks the downed officer and snatches up a pen-sized cylinder.
This'll come in handy.
I found the heat shaft. Let's go.
The group moves cautiously yet briskly through the corridors.
The access corridor should be right past this junction.
Move the transformer over there. All right, we'll check it out. Section 4, BK-147.
Scan control has been unreliable since last rotation. Set a technical
perspective. They sneak past a pair of troopers and turn a corner down another hallway.
There, Mithril, slice that door.
Use the code cylinder.
The Mithril plugs the pen-sized key into a control panel. Double doors slide open and the group enters a narrow pathway. A second door opens in front of them, revealing the heat shaft beyond. From a narrow platform, they look down upon a pit of lava.
Whoa. Yeah, whoa's right.
Greef points.
That's it. Get on the reactor controls, drain the coolant lines. We'll watch the doors.
Me?
Yes, you!
Well, I'm afraid of heights. And heat. And lava.
How about if I put you back in carbonite? Get over there!
The Mithril puts one foot out to test the sturdiness of a thin catwalk.
There's no guardrail on this.
Come on!
He slides around the reactor. Venturing a look down, he sees the magma steaming below.
Oh boy.
He turns himself around to face the controls. Hugging the reactor, he begins entering a command sequence.
Come on, hurry up, hurry up! Hurry up!
The Mithril's gloved claws punch more buttons on the panel while Mando stands lookout in the corridor. A column of lights turns from blue to red. The Mithril looks down and sees an eruption of magma.
All right, she's gonna blow! Let's go, let's get out of here!
An indicator turns orange as the lava level rises. The group retreats back down the corridors.
How long do we have?
10 minutes at most.
Turning a corner, the Mandalorian raises a fist and signals the others to duck out of sight.
5387 and 5389, follow me. Call in reinforcements.
He watches a platoon of stormtroopers run by, then leads the group in a different direction. Elsewhere in the base, two Imperials stand at a workstation.
Hurry up, purge the drives.
The infiltrators come rushing into view.
Destroy it!
A firefight ensues. One of the Imperials shoots up the workstation while his comrade goes down. As he turns his blaster on the others, he's quickly terminated as well. The group notices a wall of tanks, each filled with a glowing, murky fluid. They step in for a closer look.
What the?
Hairless, disfigured humanoids float lifelessly in the pale illumination.
I thought you said this was a forward operating base.
I thought it was.
No, this isn't a military operation. This is a lab. We need to get into the system and figure out what's going on.
What about the reactor?
Do it!
The Mithril flaps his jaws and hurries behind the workstation.
I don't like this.
Pardon me.
He shoves one of the dead Imperials out of the way and calls up a hologram of Dr. Pershing.
Replicated the results of the subsequent trials, which also resulted in catastrophic failure. There were promising effects for an entire fortnight, but then, sadly, the body rejected the blood.
The others gather round.
highly doubt we'll find a donor with a higher M count, though. I recommend that we suspend all experimentation. I fear that the volunteer will meet the same regrettable fate if we proceed with the transfusion. Unfortunately, we have exhausted our initial supply of blood. The child is small, and I was only able to harvest a limited amount without killing him. If these experiments are to continue as requested, we would again require access to the donor. I will not disappoint you again, Moff Gideon.
This must be an old transmission. Moff Gideon is dead.
No. This recording's 3 days old.
If Gideon's alive, then...
A shootout erupts as troopers enter the room. The warriors hunker down in defensive positions.
We have them!
As the remaining stormtroopers move in, Kara and the Mandalorian each pick one of them off. The cowering Mithril reaches up over the control terminal and shoots the last one down without even looking.
I need to get the kid.
Jet back. You're faster that way. We'll head to the speeder and meet you in town.
Come on, let's go. When did you say this place is gonna blow again?
Kara leads Greef and the Mithril at a brisk run down another corridor.
They're on the move.
They get entangled in another firefight. After Kara and Greef efficiently snipe down the troopers, the Mithril jumps out from hiding and aims around wildly.
Let's go!
Elsewhere on the base.
We think they may be moving to the tank.
As two troopers run into him, Mando dispatches them before they even have a chance to react. He continues racing through the corridors, barely missing a beat. Meanwhile, Greef and Kara take out more troopers who cross their path. Mando arrives at the heat shaft and stops short on the platform, looking down into the rising lava. A trooper runs into view on the other side of the chasm. As Mando gets ready to take flight, blaster bolts bounce off his armor. He shoots down the enemy, then exchanges fire with two more coming up behind him before finally jetting off through the shaft. One of the troopers eyes the reactor. Mando rockets from the top of the shaft, taking out two troopers before they know what hit them. A third blasts him from behind, and Mando shoots him off his perch. The two troopers in the shaft look up. They see their comrade falling past them. The Mandalorian takes off running. He blasts off on his jetpack. The image wipes away from bottom to top, bringing us back inside the base, where the other three arrive at a hangar door. The Mithril punches in a key command, opening it. The trio rushes out onto the shuttle pad. Meanwhile, the elevator door opens.
All right, man, load your weapons. There they are. Blast them.
The three take cover behind cargo to avoid the onslaught, then return fire as the stormtroopers advance out onto the platform.
We're trapped!
Kara eyes the Marauder.
Is that so? Cover me!
Greef and the Mithril lay down fire as she races to it.
What does she think she's doing?
Kara makes it to the Trexler Marauder, finds a seat in the cockpit, and powers it up.
All right, baby girl, let's see what you got.
She flips an overhead switch. The vehicle's rear thrusters fire up, billowing the tarp cover. As Kara drives toward her companions, the tarp comes off entirely. She makes a quick stop and opens a side hatch.
What are you guys waiting for? An invitation? Let's move!
Go, 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 go!
Greef provides cover fire for him and the Mithril to enter the vehicle. Kara punches a control sequence on the overhead panel as they find their seats. She accelerates across the hangar towards the wide corridor of speeder bikes when its heavy door begins to close. The Marauder lurches to a sudden stop. Gritting her teeth, Kara pulls back on the throttle and spins the vehicle around to face the stormtroopers at the edge of the shuttle pad.
You're not seriously considering going over!
Run!
She plows ahead, blasting through cargo containers and making a beeline for the enemy. The troopers leap out of the way as the Marauder shoots over the edge. It lands right on top of the land speeder, crushing it to smithereens on the canyon floor. Kara and her passengers jostle in their seats.
Wait, is that my speeder?
He goes flying onto his back as she propels the vehicle forward. Up above, the hangar door opens and troopers fly out on speeder bikes. They launch over the edge of the shuttle platform, clipping dirt and rocks as they use their repulsor engines to navigate down the steep cliff face. Two of them collide in a fiery explosion. Another scout trooper glances back at the crash, then lands hard on the canyon floor and follows the Marauder along with two squad mates. The chase takes them at top speed through the winding canyon. The speeder bikes start to gain on the armored Marauder.
Man the guns.
Copy that.
He exits the cab and the Mithril moves into his seat. Greef takes control of a heavy turret, which he swivels around to face the speeder bikes. Looking down at his targeting display, he gets one in his crosshairs, then opens fire with his dual cannons. The speeder bike swerves to avoid the blasts before returning fire. As Greef gets it in his crosshairs again, it flashes red on his display. He scores a hit, throwing the scout trooper off his bike.
One down.
One of the remaining troopers signals to the other as Greef fires at them. They split up and accelerate, both moving out of range of his targeting screen. As they flank the Marauder, Greef spots one of them passing his window.
I've lost him!
Drawing even with the cab, the trooper pulls his gun and fires in at Kara through her window. Meanwhile, his partner grabs onto the opposite side of the Marauder. Kara swerves, crushing her assailant against the canyon wall. Greef swivels his turret, searching for the remaining trooper, who stands up atop the roof and activates a grenade. He inches his way toward the cab. Greef swivels his turret all the way around. His targeting display lights up with a digital rendering of the trooper, who gets obliterated. The trooper's empty helmet bounces across the canyon floor. Back at the Imperial base, TIE fighters launch into the air, unfolding their wings into vertical flight position as lava erupts from the heat shaft. They safely fly away from the exploding facility. The Mithril glances back at the destruction.
Yes! We did it!
Headed home, boss.
As the Marauder glides easily through the canyon, four TIE fighters descend from the sky. The Mithril turns his head perceptively. Kara shifts her unsettled gaze. Greef sees the fighters on his display.
I may have been premature. Take evasive! I got this!
Kara upshifts through the canyon, but the enemy remains hot on their tail. Greef swivels around in his turret, trying to line up the fighters in his crosshairs. He fires a volley, but his shots only manage to vaporize rock into dust along the rims of the canyon walls. The lead TIE fighter swoops in for an attack. Greef continues firing in desperation, but none of his shots come close. The lead pilot retaliates with a volley of his own, which Kara manages to outmaneuver. The Marauder crashes through a clump of rocks.
What is going on back there?
You want to come back here and try this? Be my guest!
He repositions his cannons and fires off another volley, but the TIE fighters continue zeroing in on them.
Can't you get this thing to go any faster?
Come on!
As the Marauder careens around the rocky terrain, the lead pilot remains laser-focused on it. The displays lock on target for both him and Greef at the same time. The Marauder's cannons beat him to the punch and score a direct hit. The ship crashes into a fireball, which engulfs the turret. Greef dives out of the way just in time. The Marauder shoots out of the canyon into the lava flats. Without the obstruction of the canyon walls, the three remaining TIE fighters drop in low for better targeting position. They gain on the helpless transport vehicle. Locked on target, the lead pilot strafes the ground around the Marauder. The three fighters speed ahead of their quarry and start to circle back around for another attack run when one of them explodes. The Razor Crest drops into view.
Yes!
Yes! Hang on, kid.
The child sits in his seat with a sleeve of cookies. As the crest goes into a vertical climb, he gleefully raises his arms overhead. Mando tails one of the fighters, blasting away. Meanwhile, the Marauder swerves to a stop just outside the city gates, and Greef hops out. Looking through electro binoculars, he watches the dogfight in the clouds. Mando spins and rolls, trying to keep pace with his quarry. The child raises one of the turquoise cookies to his mouth for another bite. Mando gently squeezes the trigger on his joystick and blows off one of the fighter's wings. The child swings his arms in the air again. The Razor Crest maneuvers through the wreckage and goes inverted, hanging weightless for a moment before firing back up its thrusters and diving at the last remaining fighter. Mando corkscrews around incoming fire. The TIE pilot locks on target. Mando calmly maintains his course. His cannons blast the oncoming fighter. As the ship blows up, the crest gracefully skirts past the explosion. Kara, Greef, and the Mithril all watch from below.
Yeah! Woo! Yeah!
Mando looks over his shoulder at the child.
Not too bad, huh, kid?
He spits up onto his robes in bright turquoise.
Oh boy.
That was some pretty impressive flying, Mando. What do I owe you?
With the repairs, let's call it even.
He mops up the vomit with his cape.
Can I at least buy you a drink?
Sorry, I have some onboard maintenance I gotta take care of. Then we gotta hit the road before Gideon catches Wise.
Well, good luck flying, my friend.
Grief lowers his calm and watches the Razor Crest soar overhead. Now, two X-Wings sit on the dirt tarmac outside the city gates at the magistrate's office.
So is there anything else you can remember before the base exploded?
Grief sits with his feet on his desk.
No.
An X-Wing pilot questions him.
How long after the Razor Crest jumped out?
I never said anything about a Razor Crest.
Your transponder log.
Transponder log. Come on, give me a break. The control droid can't tell apart anything pre-Empire. This isn't Coruscant.
Do you have anything else to add?
Not that I can think of, officer. But if something does come to mind, I'll be sure to send you a gram. That is, if you're ever up this far, yeah.
Grief shows him to the exit. The pilot reluctantly goes. Grief sees the Mithril staring at him from the other desk.
What?
Outside, the X-Wing pilot encounters Kara loitering on the porch. He watches her toss a crumb into the street. The meerkat gobbles it up.
You did a hell of a job cleaning up the system.
According to records, you're quite a soldier. We could really use you.
I'm not a joiner, Blue.
The gray-bearded pilot nods disappointedly, then glances around at the town.
There's something going on out here. They don't believe it on the core worlds, but it's true. These aren't isolated incidents. They need to be stopped before it's too late, but we can't do it without local support.
As he looks down at a tablet device in his hand, Kara keeps her gaze averted.
Says here you're from Alderaan. I served during Alderaan.
Her downcast eyes shift slightly, but she remains poker-faced as she tosses another crumb into the street.
Did you lose anyone?
She faces him.
I lost everyone.
I'm sorry for your loss.
He gives her a solemn nod, then reaches over to a table and sets down a New Republic badge featuring the trademark symbol of a phoenix inside a sunburst. As he walks away, Kara looks down at it. The five-sided metal badge bears an insignia of red and white stripes at the bottom. Kara tosses another crumb, then turns to watch the X-Wing pilot amble off. She takes a couple of steps into the street of cracked and hardened lava, her dark hair draped to one side of her implacable face. Her gloved hands ball into fists for a moment before relaxing and toying with the crumbs still in her grip. In space, two forward spars of an Imperial light cruiser cut into view above our heads, followed by its sprawling underbelly of double-barreled laser cannons and multifaceted hardware. At its rear, a light blue glow emanates from its three main engines and four auxiliary engines. On board, an officer steps up to a hologram display and connects to a transmission.
What do you have for me?
The device has been planted as you requested.
Good. You will be well rewarded in the new era.
She cuts off the hologram of the worker alien from the Navarro landing field and walks out of the bridge. In a hallway, she makes her way past a stationed stormtrooper and reaches to a panel display. Doors open to a large bay where a caped figure looms in a fog.
Moff Gideon.
He turns to the communications officer.
The tracking beacon has been installed on the Razor Crest.
Does he still have the asset?
Yes. Our source confirmed it.
He wears a stony gaze.
And we will be ready.
The communications officer nods and takes her leave. A smile creeps over Moff Gideon's face. He turns toward a shadowy cubicle where light gleams off a hint of shiny black armor resembling his own. Rows of similar compartments sprawl throughout the bay with an engineer in white coveralls tending to immobilized dark troopers contained within. Cut to black.
We'll be right back.
Audio description by Deluxe, funded by Disney Plus Originals, voice by Nicole Zanzarella and Mike DeBonis.